And your extended news at noon continues. I'm Tracy Morgan, so thank you very much for being with us and continuing with us here today. All right, so on our phone with us is Mike Liebler, and he's the founder and executive director of Connecting to Tomorrow. And this is a part of our Light Up the Season series, if you will, for Butler County Children with Peoples. And so, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. We really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, it's been some time since we got to talk to Connecting to Tomorrow. My first question is just how you all have been doing. I've been asking a lot of different organizations that. This year has been an interesting year, so how have you been doing?
Yes, it has been a challenge, of course, because of the COVID issues and the schools closures and things like that. So it's posed us a little bit of a challenge this year. The things that we're trying to be creative, and a couple of the things we do is trying to do some virtual mentoring with the schools and with other organizations. It's a slow process, but we're taking it as it comes. We always believe that if we can help at least one person, we're being successful.
Explain to us what your mentoring is all about with Connecting to Tomorrow.
Sure. We are a program-oriented mentoring program. What we try to do is to work with the young adults, 14 and older, and helping them to gain some life skills, some soft life skills, such as interviewing skills, preparing for their next life after high school, and trying to build that roadmap, trying to set some goals of where they would like to be in 10 years from now and 3 years from now, if looking at college the direction they want to take, or is it more of trying to set off a career working in the labor or another type of industry with a craft or something like that. So we try to help them set those roadmaps of reaching those goals. Some of the things that we try to do is figure out where their interest lies, where their creativity will match them best with the type of career they are interested in.
I was just going to say, I'm curious on if you find that these young people know what their interests are, and I'm not trying to take away anything from the younger kids. What I'm saying is that there is a difference in how individuals worked and were raised and had to be on the job earlier, it seemed years and years and years ago, versus now it seems like I have two kids, so I guess I'm going from my own experience. My kids are gamers and they're, you know, around sitting around playing games, not nearly as much as what people years ago would have done. So do you find that kids have a harder time knowing what their future is going to be or what they'd like to work towards?
I think so, because there's a lot of different opportunities today than there was. And as you mentioned, I think back to my father's time whenever he graduated, even before he graduated high school at the age of 16, he was born and raised in Butler, and he started working for Armco. And he stayed there for 44 years and retired at 60 years old. And I know a lot of people in our community, that generation, followed those types of paths. And nowadays, there's a lot of different avenues and interests for young people. And I know, as you mentioned, gaming with your children, a lot of the kids that we work with obviously like to do the gaming and things like that. And we'd like to find a career into doing something related to the gaming.
And that may be a whole new path for young people. I know that I've talked to young people that say, I'd like to develop a game. Well, somebody's going to do that. You know, I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's great. You know, find an avenue to do that.
Right, exactly. And there are several different ways that they can go into doing that. I mean, they can become a programmer, computer programmer. And these games nowadays have such large graphics and things like that, that there's a lot of people that work is doing the voiceovers and things on those games. So there's just a lot of different nuances the gaming and the video has brought to the career world today, so to speak.
I'll fall back to my question then. So as you work with these kids, do you have to guide them a little bit more in trying to figure out their future, or is it just they haven't found their niche yet?
I think some of them have found their niche, but some of them aren't sure how to get there.
Okay.
And it's like a lot of them, like we go back to the gaming, say, oh, yeah, I want to be a gamer. This is what I want to do in life and things like that. And then we ask them, well, how do you get there to do that? And they're unsure of that part. What are those steps? What's that roadmap I have to take to reach that goal that I have intended for myself?
Yeah.
So we try to show them, even though you don't like schooling, but if you want to become a programmer, there's quite a bit of schooling with being a programmer.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. It's just like the old thing with people that wanted to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's only so many positions in the NFL, so there's a very limited opportunity to make it there. But maybe there's some other things in football or other types of sports or the art world or whatever that they can contribute to.
Mike, let me ask you about your financial status right now. A lot of organizations have struggled over the year and what the future looks like. We're unsure about all of that. Where are you with donations? I'm sure you're in need. And if you are, how can people give to you? Can you talk about that for a moment?
Sure. And just as you said, it has been a challenging year financially. We're a 100% volunteer organization. There are no paid employees with us. So we work on a very limited budget, but a lot of our budget, especially to meet any administrative needs such as rent and insurance and things like that, we've always done through fundraisers. And the fundraisers, unfortunately, we're not able to do right now because of social distancing and being in person and trying to be safe and things like that. So that's something that we just have not been able to do. We've had a limited number of donations come in this year as well. And I totally understand that because the economy has been hit hard with this and people are trying to make their own ends meet. So I totally understand that. We have been fortunate to have some of the cash on hand of having a smaller budget and trying to meet these needs because we have been living within our means. We've restricted all kinds of spending just other than the necessities that we need right now. So that has helped us some. We do receive a couple grants that we're very grateful for that help us with the programming and such. So, anybody that would like to make a donation to Connecting to Tomorrow, we more than welcome that and appreciate their efforts. And they're able to send a check to Connecting to Tomorrow and mail it to P.O. Box 1884, Butler, PA 1603-1884. Or they can go onto our website, and we have, through PayPal, they're able to make a secure donation. We have a few people that contribute monthly as their means allow them to.
Now, finances are important, so if people would like to give to you, please do that, folks. And again, you can get information online at connectingtotomorrow.org. Let me ask you about other needs that you would have. What do you need or what could you use from the community at this point?
Right now, we're still trying to seek some additional volunteers to help with mentoring. We've been limited there. So anybody that would be interested in becoming a mentor, they please reach out to us, and we'll be happy to sit down virtually and have a little interview and discussion on what does it mean to be a mentor, because there is some training and things like that. We are a part of the National Mentoring Partnership, based out of the Pittsburgh office, and they've been very, very helpful in guiding us to become a credentialed mentoring program in this area. And I think we may be the only one credentialed through them in this area.
How many hours in a week would one have to give?
That is flexible. Usually it's about an hour a week. Sometimes we do biweekly, depending on the group that we're working with. If with the schools, it's usually a biweekly program. And again, we're trying to be creative with our mentors as well, because we know their time is limited as well. So we may work with them if they're interested in helping doing a mentor part of it with, say, financial and banking curriculum. And so they can just focus in on that. And that may only be a couple months commitment. If they would like to do work with the interviewing skills, career options, sometimes we have some one-time presenters that help us in the schools that come in and just talk about their career. and try to give a motivational talk with the kids of any time you do something, you're going to face roadblocks and challenges, and how they were able to face those roadblocks and challenges and be able to still reach their goal.
I want people to know that this is a Butler County-based nonprofit. We've talked to so many organizations, and I believe they're all Butler County, but if this is the first time that we're hearing of you, you're not national. You are right here in Butler.
Correct, yes. Yes, we're located right in Butler, and we've been here since 2011 serving the Butler community. We've worked in the Butler schools for several years. We've worked with the Carn City School District, and I've recently been talking with Seneca Valley School District and working with them, and whatever we can do to help any of the kids. Sometimes we're able to run some smaller groups with only maybe two or four kids. That makes it a little bit easier with the social distancing and things like that. We used to be able to run what we called the Youth Leadership Initiative in Butler County, where we might have 50, 60 kids that meet. But that's right now, as you can see, is a challenge. So
yeah.
That's been put on hold right now, as well as our etiquette mill. But we're trying to come up with a creative way even to do the virtual etiquette mill. So
the etiquette meal is learning how to eat properly at our dinner table, right?
That is part of it, correct, because you want to be able to use the right utensils and things like that, but it also is a part of behaviors with being polite, treating other people with kindness. And it's also, as we talk about having proper manners, it's just not at the dinner table, but it's also when you go in for a job interview, or if you're walking in, you're meeting somebody at Walmart or another store, that you want to treat them politely and kindly.
Yeah.
So just not for that evening, but they're for a life skill.
I'm going to go back on something that you mentioned just a minute or so ago when you said you work with the schools. I'm glad you said that. For some reason, by you saying it, it just made me picture on how many people are affected by what's happening right now with schools. And this isn't against the schools. The schools are trying the best that they can. But that fluctuating schedule also affects different programs like yours to be able to work with these students. And I say that just to bring attention to the fact that it's important to know about where you are right now, because you're having to do things differently.
Correct. Yes, and I give the schools a lot of credit because it's been a difficult challenge for them, as it has been for everybody. And us trying to work together, we're trying to be as flexible as we can and things like that. So maybe we can't meet weekly, maybe we can meet monthly, but I think there's always a way that we can try to work things out. And it's just all of us using our creative juices to make things work and working together.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question about the feedback from those who have gone through your program. I could ask this in two different ways, one for the participants and one for the mentors.
Sure. The kids, we've had a lot of positive feedback from the kids. We've helped a lot of them get on to some of them going to a technical program or a vocational type of setting, getting started there. And as kids go through our program, we try to offer them, as they're committed to the program and they graduate from school and from the program, we offer them some incentive through getting started. Maybe they need assistance with buying their books or registering for classes and things like that. So we do have part of our program is with financial assistance with that, such as the young lady is wanting to be a nurse's aide. Maybe she needs to have a stethoscope. Maybe she needs some books for the class, or maybe they need clothes for interviewing and things like that. So we try to help them that way as well.
The organization is called Connecting to Tomorrow. If you're looking it up, you'd have to put the number 2 in there. So connecting with the number 2, connectingtotomorrow.org, a Butler-based nonprofit organization focusing on providing teens and young adults with the fundamentals of life and learning skills and so much more. So, Mike, I appreciate your time today. Any final thoughts you want to leave with us?
No, again, we thank you for this opportunity, and we wish everybody safety and good health for this time, and we'll all be able to get together again hopefully soon, and we'll make our best out of what we can do during this time.
Thank you, Mike.